Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Monday, June 8th, 2026. Hope you all are doing well on this lovely, sunny Monday morning. And of course, it's the start of a six-game road trip tonight. Yankees will be taking on the Cleveland Guardians yet again. A lot of double ups this season so far. You play the Rangers, you play them again next week. You play the Orioles, which that makes sense, in division. You play them again next week. We just played the Guardians back at home. Now we're going to go to Cleveland. Play them again starting up tonight. Six-game road trip begins Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, off on Thursday, and then Friday we are in Toronto for the first time this year, second time facing the Blue Jays this season. Of course, we split with them back in the Bronx. Anyways, nonetheless, we have a lot to discuss this morning. Of course, we'll break down yesterday's win and the storylines that come from yesterday's win, one of which being a pretty bad relay throw, a very bad relay throw by Anthony Volpe in the sixth inning. We'll get to that. We'll get to a bunch more. But of course, we are live at the Morning Yankee Show 5 days a week. And we're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of that. We'll be live tonight for the watch party. We'll be live, I believe, every single game this week with watch parties. Anyways, nonetheless, let's get into it. Leave a like on the stream if you do not mind. But yeah, let's start off with yesterday's win and go from there. And of course, it all stems from an explosive eighth inning where the Yankees entered the eighth, tied at one, and offense wasn't looking great. And all of a sudden, then, they were.
Driven deep to right field. Going back to Abreu on the track, at the wall. See ya! A home run from Bellinger, and the Yankees lead 2-1. And that one is into right field for a base hit. Rosario rounds third. He's coming home. He'll score. An RBI single for Grisham. And the Yankees lead 3-1. High fly ball. Right center field. Rafael Abad on the track. At the wall. See ya. A three-run home run for Chisholm. As the Yankees pouring it on here in the eighth inning. Line to left field, Bellinger there, and the Yankees win 6-1.
All righty, capped by a three-run shot, Jazz Chisholm Jr. Now, obviously, he was using Aaron Judge's bat, we later found out, and that's all well and good. That's some nice, cute stuff, whatever bat he wants to use. He was using Caballeros for a minute. Now, I guess he chooses to use Judge's, and he initially said he didn't like doing that because that's how he got hurt last year with the oblique. Used it yesterday, ends up going deep, three-run bomb, which was a big home run. Blew it open. Ish for the circumstances. 6-1 is indeed your final. But I want to first start off with Cody Bellinger, who got things going with the go-ahead solo shot. And that was his ninth homer of the season. He's got an 849 OPS now. And his 3.6 B war, which currently is my war of choice because he has the second highest B war in the American League. Just one, a 0.1 behind Bobby Witt, who's at 3.7. So that's pretty cool. But what I want to take this with is the angle of the offseason and, you know, Kyle Tucker versus Cody Bellinger. Now, I was of the mindset, especially post-elimination ALDS last year, was I don't have to pick between the two. I want both. Obviously, that wasn't realistic and it wasn't going to happen. But there were a lot of Yankee fans, and understandably so, that preferred Kyle Tucker. And I understand that because Tucker, you know, historically has been the better player. We did hear a lot from whether it be the Yankees or other teams as well. I think I can say this, like we heard directly from the man himself, concerns, by that I mean Brian Cashman, by the way, concerns over Kyle Tucker's attitude and how it was going to play in New York and how much he truly loves baseball. And anytime you put something like that out there, you know, people push back and, you know, start giving you all this like Twitter brain crap and, you know, you can't really have a conversation about it. But it was legitimately a true concern with Tucker was, you know, his true love for the game and how a long-term contract would age. Now, obviously, we know how the offseason played out. Yankees did indeed retain Cody Bellinger. Kyle Tucker ends up signing a massive short-term deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, it's working out. And while I see some Yankee fans acknowledging where, you know, they maybe were speaking a little bit out of tune at the time where it was cheap old Yankees, settle for Bellinger. No, go get Kyle Tucker. Good thing we didn't, because if you look at the comparison so far, and a key word here is so far, this is not a thing where, you know, one good game, one good 2 months in determines the ultimate result of this conversation. But at least as we sit here today, June 8th, take a look at the season comparison between these two. For those that are audio only, it's not even close, really. Bellinger again, 3.6 B war. Kyle Tucker, 0.9. WRC plus. Kyle Tucker, just a 104 this year. He's hitting 236, slugging under 400. Bellinger, in the meantime, hitting 273, on base with 373, slugging 476, a 138 WRC plus. So while Kyle Tucker so far, in a decent sample size, has only been 4% better than a league average hitter, and you figure that will go up because Kyle Tucker is way better than he's performed so far with the Dodgers. And in terms of their situation, they can... I just realized, by the way, I completely forgot to update the bottom news ticker. There is still like 98% of it is updated information. I just may not have the game stats from yesterday. I apologize for that. But Kyle Tucker will get better. Point is, though, Bellinger, we at the very least did know, was a great fit with the Yankees. And the Yankees took that angle with wanting to re-sign him and not go after Tucker. Obviously, the finances played a big role in that as well. Bottom line is here, it's working out. 104 WRC plus for Kyle Tucker so far, just 4% better than a league average hitter he's been for the Dodgers so far. And Cody Bellinger, a 138 WRC plus. So he is having a fantastic season. And, you know, there's been some talk. I mentioned it yesterday in the watch party, which this isn't going to happen. But, you know, with Judge out, the MVP conversation is wide open. And with that, it's probably going to be, you would guess, Bobby Witt, who does lead all the American League in war right now, and he's the best defensive shortstop in baseball. Trust me, I'm not going to say Bellinger is going to win the MVP. With that said, he does have a foundation of a season right now, which, again, he's technically the second best position player in the league right now, and by that I mean the AL. If you were to go off and have a great month power-wise, which yesterday was nice seeing him go deep, because while he's still been getting on base and he's having a really nice season, the last couple weeks he really hasn't been hitting for too much power. More so, I should say, the last week after the road trip. The homestand, he wasn't hit for much power while still getting on base. Yesterday, that changed. Bellinger, the foundation of his season could lead to where, you know, if he has a crazy month of power, say he put like, I don't know, in June, he can go on to hit 6 or 7 homers. It won't be ridiculous to mention, like, could Cody Bellinger get some MVP votes? He's not going to win it, obviously, but the point is here, he's having a great season. Year two is off to a fantastic start for the Yankees, even better than year one went, which was terrific. He's still hitting with runners in scoring position. He's still, you know, maintaining that fantastic two-strike approach that we love so much. And, you know, there's still some issues, quote-unquote, as there are with every player with Bellinger. You know, he's much better at home, although hopefully that is starting to change. He had a good road trip against Kansas City and Oakland. But nonetheless, just bringing it back to the Kyle Tucker conversation here, at least as of right now, it has worked out. And it just goes to show you that the fans don't always know. And sometimes they do know. A little bit later, we're going to get into something that I wish the Yankees would kind of take our advice on, which they shouldn't really have to, because I think the writing is on the wall. And I actually have some hope that they will make the right choice here, because, again, the writing's on the wall. Obviously, I'm referring to the Anthony Volpe situation. We'll get to that in just a moment. But in regards to Cody Bellinger versus Kyle Tucker, as of right now, because it's baseball, things can change. And one good game, 1-0-for-4, 1-4-for-4 does not win an argument. But as of right now, it's working out. And I'm so glad to have Bellinger on this team. I know the Yankees are. I know all of us as fans are. Let's put a bow on this with some Aaron Boone sound about just that whole process. And it's kind of funny. Listen to the end of it. And then we'll continue on here. We got a bunch more to discuss. But here's Boone on how the offseason played out, just being happy that he re-signed Bellinger. We's in the Yankees, but I'm on the team, so whatever.
Going back to the offseason, just how closely were you following everything that was going on or not going on with Cody?
Well, I mean, I live it, so I just remember it coming together. It seemed like more in the last hours and kind of came together quickly, and I remember being here when it went down, so I remember that being a good day for us.
I remember you said Blake relayed the news. What was your reaction in that immediate moment?
Woohoo!
Say what you will, Boone's funny. He's a funny guy. Anyways, to put a bow on that, 3.6 B-War, second in all of the American League, position player-wise, behind Bobby Witt. And again, I don't think Bellinger's going to win MVP, but he's having a damn good season. And hey, it's baseball. Weird things could happen. And he's won an MVP before, so, you know. Shout out to Cody Bellinger. I want to talk Trent Grisham, though, because Trent Grisham had a big RBI single, which at the time gave us a big insurance run. You know, we're up 2-1, which we were ecstatic about. But then at the time, you know, just a one-run lead. And while the Yankee bullpen is putting together a good couple games, and they're capable of doing so. And last night, I guess on the topic of that, we can just shout them out really quick. 3 1/3 scoreless innings, Cruz, Brent Hedrick, Tim Hill, and then David Bednar did end up getting the job done. Really want to continue to hammer home that while Bednar has not been perfect, and there's been a couple blown saves here and there, and the blown saves have been ugly, particularly the one, you know, obviously that stands out is against the Mets. Bednar is not an abomination of a closer. If there's a guy out there, the Padres are really shit in the bed lately, by the way. Do with that what you will, you kind of know what I'm implying. But you could have a far worse closer than David Bednar. He's pretty like fine this season. And just to keep hammering home this point, that I feel like a lot of people were, well, the bullpen we know needs to be upgraded. You guys know I'm not saying that, obviously. If you've been tuning in, like, no, we all know that. The bullpen has to be upgraded. Bednar is not Camilo Duvall. There's a big difference between the two. Duvall is a disaster, a shit show, if you don't mind. I'm cursing a lot on this morning show. I apologize. I'm going to stop. That's my last one. That's for the watch parties, not the morning show. Our lovely morning show here is the sun's out. No bad words when the sun's out. But no, Bednar's been pretty good. He got the job done yesterday. Anyways, at the time, you know, Bellinger gives the lead. 2-1 is the score in the eighth inning. You got Wilson Contreras due up for Boston, which easily far and away the most feared hitter in the Red Sox lineup. And he's played pretty well against us. A one-run lead, you don't feel all that great about, despite the fact that it was just tied and now it's not. Grisham, RBI single, which was his third hit of the game. And part of the reason I want to bring this up is, and talk about it, he's starting to luck out again a little bit, finally. Or I shouldn't say again, for the first time this year, the process is leading to results. We talked a lot at length. While despite, you know, a low batting average, despite, you know, not getting, not having great stats, the underlying metrics suggested it would not always stay that way. Now, still, while I'm a big Trent Grisham supporter, I do want to continue to acknowledge this. And it, right now, it's looking good for Grisham. Underlying metrics ultimately don't matter when discussing, like, what am I trying to say here? Results are what matters. So while we were hammering it home that the underlying metrics suggest he'd get better and he would improve, the stats would kind of align more with what the batted ball metric suggested. If Grisham was hitting 180 all season long, I wouldn't come on here after game 162 and be like, Grisham had a good season. Like, no matter what, even though you can have bad luck for a sustained period of time, like Ben Rice last year was way better than an 830 OPS, and we're seeing that this year. I only will celebrate results, but now I'm allowed to do so because we're getting those results. Over his last 15 games, Grisham's hitting 375. He's now at a 110 WRC+, so he's 10% better than a league average hitter. The on-base is creeping back up. He's at a 335 as we currently speak right now. So, you know, a lot of pushback on Grisham being re-signed. I was not one of them. I think that was a good move by the Yankees. It's a one-year deal, and it didn't really prevent them from doing anything else. If they wanted to go out and sign a reliever, they could have done so. They were already over the tax, and there was really no clear name out there to go out and sign bullpen-wise besides, like, I don't know, Sir Anthony Dominguez at the time. I guess they could have gone out and done that. But had we not signed Grisham, like, who would be playing in the outfield right now? And that is including Jason Dominguez, who is hurt, and he could possibly be coming back on this road trip, by the way. Boone did not rule that out. We'll talk more about that later. Very exciting. I hope that's the case. But even with a healthy Jason Dominguez, I mean, a big reason why we like this team so much, or at least I am a big believer in this team, is the defense. Now, Grisham is not having, like, the best bounce-back year defensively that I would have hoped he would have had. There have been some plays here and there, and he is minus -3 defensive runs saved, I think minus -1 outs above average. He hasn't been perfect in center field, but obviously we know there's a big difference between Trent Grisham and Jason Dominguez defensively. I'm glad the Yankees brought him back, and a lot of people weren't. That's fair. Your opinion is as good as mine, but for those who are Trent Grisham supporters, for those who wanted to see it through, right now it's looking pretty good. He's now above league average. The average, the batting average is coming up. The on-base is coming up. He's still been clutch, homered the other day. So things are looking up, trending up for Trent Grisham. Also, of course, another shout out to Jazz, 3-run homer. That was important too, because same deal. 3-1, nice insurance run, RBI single by Grisham. Well, still, you're not exactly completely relaxed. You're happy that they took the lead. Once Jazz connect for that 3-run shot, you're kind of chilling. So shout out to him. And that entire eighth inning, that was awesome. We needed that big time. And, you know, that was the offense that we're supposed to see even without Aaron Judge. We kind of really emphasized strongly on Friday, which was a very aggressive show by me, by the way. But apparently you guys kind of liked it, so word up. I feel like it was a message that had to be said because, you know, dooming and glooming ain't really in anymore. Optimism is cool. It's the way I see it. But it's not blind optimism. It's legitimate logic to apply to this whole conversation in these next 2 months without Aaron Judge. Obviously, we're a better team with Judge, but we're not incompetent. We're not, you know, a pathetic lineup like we were in 2023 where Judge goes down. We have Willie Calhoun batting leadoff. No, this is a lineup that should still score runs. And, you know, even we talk about a lot, like on the watch parties, at least you watch a team every single day and you assume that, you know, they're terrible at this. They're not as good in one category as you may think they are, or as you may, yeah, because you watch this team every single day. And something I've been saying, like, I highly encourage everybody to pick a random team besides the Dodgers, but pick a random team and watch them every day for a week. And you'll be quite surprised the difference in how good that team is day in and day out compared to how good the Yankees are. Are they perfect? No, we know the bullpen has to be upgraded. They're missing Judge right now. They're missing Stanton. As of right now, they're still missing Jason Dominguez. But how shocked would you be if I told you the Yankees have the third highest OPS in baseball with runners in scoring position? That's a fact. They're tied for the American League lead as a team in stolen bases. Would you have guessed that? Probably not. And I understand that. Like, does it pass the eye test? No, not necessarily. But a lot of, I feel like, of our, you know, comparisons of what makes a good team or not is comparing to, like, I don't know, the dynasty teams of the 90s or the 2009 Yankees. It's a different game. Pitching has gotten a lot better. So what was a great hitting team with runners in scoring position back then is not what it is now, because offense is down, which is why WRC plus and stats like that, OPS plus, are really so important, because what it does is, along with many other things, it brings it home to league average and what the rest of the league is doing, how you're performing individually or as a team compared to a league average offensive hitter or offensive hitting team. So just keep in mind, while the Yankees are not perfect, trust me, I know, you'd be quite shocked if you were to watch another team every single day the way we do with the Yankees, because there's not that many good teams out there. And what makes a team good? It's all relative. It's all scaled to your competition. All we have to do is be better than our league and then come to the World Series when and if we get there, which we absolutely should get there if the right moves are made. And, you know, Judge comes back, which he should. That's a baseball series. We worry about that then. And when it comes to our starting rotation, no matter what, by default, we have a chance. Our lineup is better than it was in 2024. The defense is better than it was in 2024. How many guys did we have playing out of position in that World Series? I mean, we had Judge in center, which Judge wasn't bad in center, despite that drop fly ball. That was just a complete blunder. We're not going to talk about that. But like Jazz at third base, or, you know, speaking of Jazz, he actually had a pretty rough error. It wasn't an error, but Friday, that ball he should have made that play on and led to a two-run shot. I think it was Wilson Contreras that hit it. Jazz will still frustrate you from time to time, which goes along with just how I feel about Jazz, because he is so great. And part of the reason I bring this up is, overall, he's a damn good defensive second baseman. He's better than Glaber was, is more so my point here. Third base, obviously, we have McMahon, better than Jazz. We don't get to the whole entire comparison here, but again, by default, the starting rotation, we can worry about the World Series then. For now, we just have to be better than the rest of the American League, and as far as I'm concerned, we absolutely are, especially with Judge back. And in the meantime, we still might be better than the rest of the league, with all that said. Anyways, to put a bow on yesterday's game, speaking of the starting rotation, Cam looked way better yesterday than he did in the previous starts. Now, he only had one clunker, and it was against Cleveland. Previous to that, he still didn't look great, but he was good against Kansas City. The main thing, obviously, we noticed from the start against Cleveland was his velo was down. Well, that was back up yesterday. He was hitting, that pitch was 97. We saw him get to 98. We saw him get to 99. A couple 100-mile-an-hour sinkers in there. Cam looked a lot better yesterday. The control wasn't great, but the only thing really to even talk about this conversation is the velo is back. Nobody's worried about Cam. If you are, you're probably, you know, worried that the sky's going to fall with everything in life. Cam's great. Doesn't get the win because, you know, he had to come out after 5 2/3. And we'll talk about the Volpe play in just a second. But his ERA now sits at 1.87. 1.87 ERA in 14 starts this season, which, of course, leads the American League. He continues to push for, not this is the end-all be-all, but no doubt about it, he is the front runner to win the Cy Young Award in the AL. So good to see Cam look the way he did yesterday. Again, not that anybody was worried about him, but the velo was the main thing. We just wanted to see what's going on with that. He said he wasn't worried. It was a couple of like mechanical things, and I guess he fixed those mechanics because the velo was back up. 5 2/3 innings is the final line for Cam. 1 earned run, 4 hits allowed, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. So with that, yesterday's win, of course, the Rays, they lose a series to the Marlins. I don't want to, you know, call it a free fall just yet, but more so coming back to the means. And I think no matter what, they'll be a playoff team given how weak the American League is. But with that, the Yankees now are tied back in first place in the American League East, which it's been a minute. It's been a minute. Now we're back, though. Tied for first place entering play on Monday. Rays 37-25, Yanks 38-26. Percentage points, secondly, the Rays have it, but I mean, whatever. It's not game 162. But yeah, in terms of games back, we are completely even. Goes Rays, Yanks, Blue Jays, Orioles, Red Sox. The Blue Jays did come back against Baltimore yesterday, so they're still creeping back towards 500. They're 2 games under at 32-34. With Toronto, I mean, I anticipate, you guys know how I feel. I think if we're to be worried about a team in the East, for me, it's way more Toronto than it is Tampa Bay. With that said, it always feels like for the last like month or so that Toronto is creeping back towards 500, and then they lose two or three in a row. That's kind of where we're at right now. They're two games under, and we'll see if we can continue that trend because we'll face them on Friday. But anyways, point is here, big win yesterday, much needed win yesterday, and that's what we're going to do while Judge is out, take it one day at a time. And yesterday, good win, back in first place, enter the new week feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good at least. You know, things aren't perfect, we know that. But when is a baseball season perfect? I mean, and you can't say 98 to me, yo, because I didn't get to watch it. Imagine I was around back then, though. Oh, my goodness. Anyways, let me see. Any more final thoughts on this? Yeah, shout out to the bullpen. The bullpen was really good last night, yesterday afternoon. I think that's a wrap on the positive from yesterday's game. We got to discuss Anthony Volpe, which this play yesterday leads us to the title of today's episode, which is that the Yankees and myself just need to accept the truth about Anthony Volpe. Now, with that said, that's maybe me just being a little bit humble, because I'm not against doing so. This conversation is not going to have anything to do with his offense, at least on my end of it, because at least for the last few days, last week or so, I have been pretty adamant that against right-handed pitching, Caviar needs to be the shortstop. Against lefties, I've been saying I can forgive or slash I'm well judges out. I'm not against it because Volpe truly, at least entering yesterday, has been really good against lefties. He's always been better against lefties in his career. But so far this year, a lot of his good at-bats that we've seen have come against southpaws. A 1.OPS plus, not plus, but 1.OPS entering yesterday against left-handed pitching, way worse against righties. So when it comes to that, I'm like, all right, well judges out and Volpe has looked good, I'm not against him playing shortstop against lefties. I would like to strip my words from the record, though, Chad. I'm kind of done with it now, and I feel like yesterday should really put a bow on almost his Yankee career at shortstop. Let's run the sound from yesterday. We'll continue to break it down. But sixth inning, Yanks up by one, and... you guys probably all watched. Let's run the play back and then we'll talk about
Rafaela.
It.
Another deep drive to left field. Backing up is Bellinger. He's going to play it off the base of the wall. Rafaela rounds third. Here's the throw home. And the throw is wide up the first baseline. It's an RBI double for Contreras and the game is tied.
So that tied the game. Running another replay of it here. But, you know, some will say like, oh, Volpe's noodle arm, no arm strength. Volpe does not have great arm strength. Had that throw just been online, though, even with his arm strength, which almost seems like it's gotten worse, to be honest, this year. But forget that. If the throw was just online, if it was a good throw with the same exact juice on it, he nails him. I mean, look at this still shot right here, where Volpe has the ball, and where, who is that, Rafaela rounding third base? A decent throw gets him. The point is here, more so, easy to bring this home. Caballero gets him. And while Volpe's making that play, cost the Yankees a run, you have Caballero out there in right field. And this is really where it comes down to. It's the offensive conversation. You're well within your rights to discuss that. Volpe's been a bust offensively, but we know that. But also, I myself have liked what I've seen the first couple weeks of Anthony Volpe. And just the way my brain operates, like, he's had a bad week. He could have a good week coming up. So I'm going to like kind of leave that to the side. If you're done with him offensively, that's totally fair. And that's a big part of this conversation too. But strictly what we're talking about here today, I'm not going to say that offense isn't a factor here, but like just what we're talking about is strictly defense. You have a better shortstop on the team now. And that's the big separator here from past seasons. Like the Seager thing is one issue, obviously. But by the time Volpe was the everyday shortstop, Seager was already on the Rangers. So from 2023 forward, there was never really an alternative option at shortstop like there is right now. And that alternative option is somebody who makes that play yesterday, saves a run, somebody who has five defensive runs saved, had been the best defensive shortstop in the American League while he was playing in Jose Caballero. In the case of Anthony Volpe, and to be fair, he's at plus one defensive run saved, at plus one outs above average. So the metrics still kind of like him, but whether it be just talking eye test, we know Caballero is a better shortstop. Or even metrically, the pace that Caballero was going at truly was by defensive runs saved. So both the eye test and the metrics, the defensive metrics back this up. he was at the time, when he was playing shortstop every single day, the best shortstop defensively in the American League, behind Bobby Witt, So Witt 1, Caballero 2, but that's pretty decent company to be in. He's hanging out there in right field, which I also don't understand that when you have Rosario at third base. I understand wanting to get Rosario's bat in the lineup. If you're at Yankee Stadium, while Judge is out, keyword on while Judge is out, obviously, put Rosario in right field, have Caballero play third. If you're going to play Volpe, Caballero, Rosario in the same game against a lefty, Rosario should be in right, at least in the Bronx, and then Caballero at third, because that's the one thing I do worry about defensively with this team is Rosario's defense at third. But nonetheless, every single day, right-handed pitching, left-handed pitching, Jose Caballero should be the starting shortstop. And with that in mind, what is like the domino effect of that? Well, first tier is the bench. We can have that conversation, but what role does Volpe really serve off the bench? And this goes back to when he was initially optioned, when Caballero was doing his thing and Volpe was done rehabbing. What exactly would his role be? He plays one position. He's not somebody you're going to look at like pinch hitting him off the bench, even against a lefty. Like, his at-bats have looked better against left-handed pitching, but he's not exactly, you know, Paul Goldschmidt. So he's not a bench bat. He should not be the shortstop. He could be the shortstop if Jose Caballero didn't exist. And that's something I really want to make sure I do get out here. Like, Volpe's not an abomination at shortstop. That play yesterday suggests that he was, or that he is. So if you're of that mindset, word up. But the big thing here is why this is such an easy conversation and why I can title this video the way I did is because you have Jose Caballero out there on right. And it's hard not to just think quite simply in the back of our conscience. More often than not, when we've been winning games this year, it's been with Jose Caballero playing shortstop. And your shortstop's got to be a rock. Your shortstop's got to be somebody that you don't even think twice about being able to make a throw like yesterday. I mean, again, look where Volpe's at. That's when you receive the ball in the relay. And I feel so bad for Yankee fans that grew up with Jeter. Now, obviously, I did as well, but the tail end of Jeter's career, I started watching in 2011. So, like, the best Jeter I ever got was 2012, which is awesome. But, like, by then, he certainly had regressed defensively. Jeter was terrific at relays. So, that probably drives that sector of the fan base even more crazy seeing Volpe botch this yesterday. But point is, Caballero makes that play. Point is, Caballero is a better defender at shortstop than Volpe is. So even if you were to think, and there's metrics that you could take to back this up, and I think truly he's looked pretty fine at shortstop, Volpe has. Yesterday was the first time it stood out to where it's like, yo, you're clearly costing us runs here. And that could have cost us the game yesterday, obviously. So it's one thing if you were to say, well, Volpe's still a good defensive shortstop, which I'm sure nobody's really even saying that, but maybe I'm saying that. Like, he's not IKF. I've seen worse Yankee shortstops than Anthony Volpe. But even if we were to say, in fairness, quote unquote, whether this is true or not, Volpe's a good defensive shortstop, let's just say. Well, you have a great defensive shortstop who is currently playing right field. And your good defensive shortstop cost you a run yesterday. The great defensive shortstop that you have, you're winning a lot of games with. It's pretty simple, and it feels like, given if the Yankees were to follow suit on this logic, that Caballero should be in there every single day. I want to see him in there tonight. I want to see him in there against, as we already were saying, against right-handed pitching every single day. But even now against lefties, he's my everyday shortstop. There's a reason you optioned Volpe a couple weeks had a large cough before this. I'm burping. Excuse me. There's a reason why you optioned Volpe a few weeks ago. And if you were to go along with this logic, as in the Yankees decide to go that route of Caballero, it's yours. Shortstop is yours. Well, it doesn't make much sense to put Volpe on the bench. The solution here is he gets optioned again. And that's really where I'm at. Because he's not going to be the starting shortstop, which clearly I'm saying he should not be. He shouldn't be on the bench either. He should be in AAA. So that's where I'm at with Volpe. And some people may say, like, oh, Dan, you put him at A on your tier list. Well, because 13 games in, he was hitting the ball pretty well, and there were no issues defensively. And again, this conversation is really putting offense to the side, but it's been a bad week for him. That Chapman at bat was terrible. Yesterday, he had some decent swings, but whatever. This is about the defense. And I'll never say anything with, you know, hopes of being right, hopes of being wrong. I care about one thing, which is the Yankees winning. By all means, like, if that's a game I want to play, like, there's so many takes I can go back on and replay the way they do on WFAN or tweet about, like, oh, I called this, I called that. And obviously there's takes I get wrong too, but it's never about takes. It's never about saying this and, you know, trying to be right. No, it's about the Yankees winning. And Jose Javier playing shortstop helps the Yankees win. So no ego involved in this whatsoever. If Jose Caballero looks like crap the next 2 weeks, let's say, which he won't, then we'll completely change our tune. I look forward to changing my tune. Like, I'll do that all the time because it's nothing to do with making sure a take ages well. Like, and again, there was no takes even about Volpe. The take was purely based off results, which was, at the time we did that tier list, which was after the Oakland series, comparison to expectations and circumstances, Volpe had been playing well. And again, I'm not going to go off of one bad week of offense. Do I think Volpe's a good hitter? No, probably not. But this is strictly about this. This can make the difference between you winning games, losing games, you winning our 20th championship, or not. If Jose Caballero was as bad offensively as Volpe is, which he's not, so that's an extra little cherry on top, at the very least. But the defense was just fine, like, then I wouldn't care. If Volpe was as good of a defender at shortstop as Caballero is, and just as bad of a hitter, this would not be a topic right now. It wouldn't be, because your shortstop can not be great offensively as long as the rest of the lineup is. You can have a black hole. Now, it's also tough because at catcher, we're in a pretty rough spot there as well. And we'll get to Austin Wells in just a moment. But just to wrap this up and bring it home, and I hope the Yankees, I know they're not listening to me, but I'm hoping they saw the same thing yesterday, and they can kind of just, ultimately what this means would be like, this is it for Volpe, because what's the next opportunity for him would be, all right, if Jazz supports a free agency, maybe he can be a second baseman next year. I think Volpe would actually be pretty good at second base. But then that will become more of an offensive conversation, because if you're going to play second base next year, Volpe, you really do got to hit. I'd like to see that through with, you know, how the offense looks. But again, clearly, I think you guys get what I'm saying here. I know you all agree, yo. So this is a very easy thing for me to come on here and say, even if I didn't believe it, you know, somebody could just come on here and be like, oh, Volpe sucks. I know you would all agree. But that's not what I'm doing here. I resent the idea of doing that. And also, too, I know there's going to be some comments like, oh, Dan, finally, you joined the light side. Well, I don't consider the light side to be 2 weeks into Anthony Volpe's career saying, oh, he sucks, he's a bust. The same crowd said the same thing about Aaron Judge in 2016. I, like, take pride in the fact of, all right, 3 years into Volpe, I've been very disappointed. Comes up year four, all right, let's see what he's got. First 13 games, what we got was pretty all right. But after yesterday, especially knowing the existence of Jose Caballero, who's playing right field, and he's one of the best defensive shortstops in baseball, and our shortstop in Volpe just cost us a run yesterday, that's where we're at right now. We'll always discuss where we're at right now, and that is that Volpe should not be the Yankees shortstop. Every single day, lefties, righties, period, no. And ultimately, that means he should be sent back down to AAA. So that's the case here on June 8th. We'll see what the case is tomorrow, next week, 3 months from now, a year from now. But that's where we're at right now. And that's one of the, I wouldn't say drawbacks, I think the beauty of an everyday show, because you have to kind of analyze each and every day. But it's not based off takes. It's based off of one thing, the Yankees winning. And Volpe almost cost the Yankees a win yesterday because of that. So with all that said, we're going to move on. We'll see what happens with this. The Yankees are facing... tonight it'll be, we'll break down the Cleveland series in a little bit. I do want to check really quick. I believe it's Gavin Williams going for Cleveland tonight, who's obviously great. Right-hander Volpe should not play today, especially if Jason is back. I don't know if, we'll touch on Jason, but again, it's possibly he's being activated for this road trip. I don't know if that means like tonight in Cleveland or for Toronto. We'll see. Boone just hasn't ruled it out. But bottom line is Volpe should not be playing today. He should not be playing shortstop. Jose Caballero should be. Now, if he could play somewhere else, or maybe like because Judge is out, like the circumstances call for art, whatever. But that's another thing about the whole conversation with the bench. Like Volpe's a one position guy, and you're not going to use him as a pinch hitter. I think we've made our point by now. So let me know what you feel about all this. Like obviously, I'm sure most of you guys are going to like agree. But you know, by the way, the giveaways from last week, those are going to be announced today. I'm going to reply back to the comments for those who entered last week on the show that I was late on. Made sure I wasn't late today. I guess technically I was late today. I had to push the show back, but that wasn't because of oversleeping. Anyways, we'll put a bow on that there. You guys kind of get my point, I'm sure, by now. Moving on to this. So obviously, kind of old news by now happened on Saturday after initially J.C. Escarra was sent down and Alex Sanchez was brought up. Now, again, on Alex Sanchez, he's not going to be the savior. 29-year-old kind of journeyman catcher, 702 OPS at AAA. He was brought up and Escarra was sent down. Well, since then we learned Austin Wells is going to the IL with cervical headaches and he's going to get an MRI today. We'll hear from Wells in just a moment, but whether it be Wells on the IL or before this even happened, like the vibe, the everything that we hear, whether it be from Jewel Sherman or just kind of like what we know, what I've heard, what everybody just kind of assumes is the Yankees will acquire a catcher by the August 3rd trade deadline. I think it's going to be Ryan Jeffers. I'm quite certain it's going to be Ryan Jeffers. But regardless, whether it's Ally Sanchez and J.C. Ascara, which in the meantime it will be, day-to-day decision, Boone says, probably, I guess, Ally Sanchez against lefties, J.C. Ascara against righties. But I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Ascara get a little bit of run here, but he's not going to be the answer either. Ryan Jeffers will be. And then Wells will come back. We'll see how he does. But no matter what, like these next 2 months, this IL situation or not, that's where we're headed. And again, the news ticker on the bottom, by the way, is I forgot to update that this morning, so ignore some of the things you're seeing on there. I apologize. But let's hear from Austin Wells. This was him after yesterday's game. He'll get an MRI today, and this is just where he's at with the injury.
Do they have any idea what's causing it?
No. We're doing some scans tomorrow. Hopefully rule out anything, but or anything serious. So, I think in my mind, it's just the cumulative buildup over the last couple weeks, month, whatever it is. And, like I said, just need to give it a couple extra days to let it catch up.
Now, we talked about this just on the watch party. My initial thought was I was probably a phantom IL. For those who know, phantom IL just means like fake IL sin, just a way to like give a guy a refresh. Sometimes it's, roster related. But in this case, it was my initial thought was like, could it be a phantom IL? Just want to give a Wells a nice fresh restart, kind of. I was like, yeah, probably. But also, Wells does get beat up a lot. And while he still has been disappointing the first 2 years offensively, it's been totally different this year, where it's like, with all due respect, like pathetic at-bats. At-bats that don't look like the Austin Wells we saw the first 2 years, which again was disappointing and was a guy that didn't live up to expectations for what, his prospect profile was. This year, totally different, whether it be the stats or just the competency of at-bat, totally different guy. Would anybody doubt that Wells is a little bit fucked up in the head? I cursed again. I apologize. I wouldn't. So this does kind of add up. And it's something to keep in mind, with catchers, obviously. We all want Ben Rice to play catcher at times, which I'm kind of good off that, to be honest with you. If it's something that is an option, which right now it seems like it's not, I'm not against, Judge's out, like playing him every now and then. Like, I've totally been on board with that. But I think the Yankees want him to be their cornerstone first baseman, get the most possible out of his bat, which by default, playing catcher takes a toll on you. We know that. But also, too, like, let's just say for a second, not that Wells would have been, winning an MVP this year had this not been the case. I don't know how much of an impact this had, but would anybody doubt that it could have had an impact in making him from a slightly below league average hitter to one of the worst hitters in baseball? I wouldn't doubt that. And in the case of Ben Rice, we need him to hit. And him playing catcher could certainly affect that. We see Wells get banged up a lot. So I guess the take here is I'm sure this did have a little bit of an impact, or I could see it possibly being the case. In the meantime, he'll get an MRI today. He was tested for a concussion. That was ruled out negative there. So no concussion for Wells, but he'll get an MRI today. And for those who don't know, I had to look it up myself, but cervical headaches means it's like headaches that stem from an underlying issue that is possibly related to the neck or the spine. So he'll get an MRI in his neck today. But what we know is he'll be out for 10 days, 9 more days, and then we'll see what the deal is. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we know how bad Wells has been, so I guess that kind of is all really to say about this. But in the meantime, J.C. Scar, Ally Sanchez, they'll get the playing time, and then we'll see what they do come Wells' return, whatever that is. But the solution to this is not, at least as of right now, it's not like Wells getting healthy. It's not J.C. Ascara learning to switch hit or anything like that. It's going to be Ryan Jeffers. Ryan Jeffers is the answer to this. The Twins catcher will be back off the IL in early July, and the trade deadline is August 3rd. It is expected he will acquire a catcher, and I think almost certainly it's going to be him. And that will be a massive, massive, massive upgrade for this team. For those who don't know, Ryan Jeffers is a pretty damn good hitter. Right-handed bat, decent defender, not amazing, but he's pretty solid. He's a pretty solid framer, not as good as Wells. And that's something I really want to hammer home with Wells, too. It's like the offense alone makes your case of why you want Wells sent down to AAA or why you want him to not be the Yankees' everyday starter, 100%. We don't need to like knock his defense. The defense is really good. He's not a great thrower. We know that. But he is one of the best defensive catchers in baseball, and that is just a fact. So your argument stands on itself just by the offense alone. We don't have to make up that Wells is a bad defender. He is. Ryan Jeffers, not as great, but he's still pretty good. I think he ranked, last time we checked, 73rd percentile in pitch framing. Wells is like 96th. Blocking, too. There's all that, too. But obviously, I hope Wells gets better. And could I see this possibly having an impact in how bad he's been? Like, how bad he's been? Not him being below league average, but just this bad? Absolutely. We don't know when this correlates back to, but like, yo, if you watch the games all the time, like, I mean, every catcher deals with this, but it feels like Wells especially just gets, like, knocked in the head at least, like, once or twice a week. So it makes sense that he's dealing with something like this, and could it have an impact? Absolutely. Absolutely. So for now, we'll see what the deal is. MRI, we'll get that today. But yeah, hope he's all good, and we'll see what the deal is in 9 days and today after the MRI. Anyways, as we get out of here with this show, of course, 6-game road trip beginning today against the Guardians. 3 games against the Guardians. Game one will be Will Warren versus Gavin Williams, as we mentioned before. Warren, of course, was supposed to start on Saturday. He'll now go today in the series opener against Cleveland. 6:40 first pitch tonight, 6:40 first pitch tomorrow on Tuesday. Tuesday, game two will be Garrett Cole versus Slade Ciccone. We saw Ciccone on, the game two against Cleveland. And then game three will be Carlos Rodon, who's been pitching really well lately. Pitched the only game we won against Cleveland at the stadium. Versus left-hander Parker Messick, who's been terrific for Cleveland. He's 6-2 with a 2.40 ERA. So on our end, Warren tonight, Cole on Tuesday, Rodon on Wednesday. Wednesday, by the way, is an afternoon game. I think a 1:05 first pitch. And then for Cleveland, Gavin Williams tonight. We know how good he is. Slade Ciccone having a down year, but pitched pretty damn well against us last time. He'll go in game two. And then game three, yeah, left-hander Parker Messick, who's just been like really good throughout his career. Second-round pick from a couple years ago. Last year in like a decent sample size, had like a 2 ERA. This year, 2.4 ERA. He's a left-hander. So maybe we'll see Volpe start then. I don't know. But you guys know where I'm at with Volpe. Don't got to talk about that too much more. And then off day on Thursday, 3 games begin against Toronto in Toronto on Friday. Some other news. Again, Boone is not ruling out that Jason Dominguez could be activated for this road trip. If I had to guess, like, it's not going to be today. Maybe it's going to be by Toronto because I would feel like it's quite quick. I'm obviously down. He did play a rehab game, I think a couple of rehab games this weekend. Remains to be seen what position he would be playing. I think you can just stick him out there on right. I think you just want to keep him in left, which they're really set on him being a left fielder, I guess. Then they would move Bellinger to right, Jason plays left, or you could just stick Jason out there on right. Especially in the Bronx, you should put Jason to right. But nonetheless, getting him back will be huge. And once he returns, let's just say it is today, going back to the Volpe conversation, there's no reason for Volpe to play. Caballero should be at short. And Jason should be playing right or left, whatever you want to do. Also, Max Fried throwing from 120 feet. He did have a meeting with the doctors, I think, yesterday. He's going to have one today, which, if all goes well, basically going to see like where the bone bruise is at, if it's healed enough, which, knock on wood, you'd like to think it has. Then he'll be clear to throw off a mound, and you could probably expect to see him sort of progress rapidly. We probably will see him, I would say, in July, Max Fried. So, good news there. I think that pretty much does it for everything from today. But yeah, we'll be live tonight for the watch party, 6:40 first pitch against the Guardians. I think we'll be live. I like doing the pregames like we did yesterday. Fun-ass watch party yesterday. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. That was a blast. So it's usually a blast if the Yankees play well. And yesterday they ultimately did. So word up there. Tonight we'll be live, I think, right around 6. But yeah, Morning Yank Show will be live every single day this week, as always, Monday through Friday. And yeah, that's all I got. I got to go get out of here and start producing baseball today. But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Click like on the stream if you have not already. Available on podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of that. That'll do it for this episode. I will see you guys later tonight for the watch party and tomorrow morning for another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. Have a great start to your week. Have a great Monday. It's a beautiful day out. And yeah, that's all I got. Till next time, let's go Yanks.